This letter to the Ephesians that Isabel read from is, it was originally a circular letter. It was meant to be passed around to a number of different churches in a region, which means it's the one time Paul wrote about life as a Christian in general. Every other time that he wrote, he was writing to a specific group of Christians whom he either knew personally or knew a lot about, and addressing some of their specific questions, concerns, errors, etc. Ephesians is this is life as a Christian. As life, simple and broadly applicable and clear as Paul could make it. And right at the center of the letter is the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Very broadly, everything in the letter up to this point where Isabel started reading has been about the good news of who God is and what he did in Jesus, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's the good news. And everything, starting in the middle of what Isabel read, at the beginning of chapter 4, is how to live in response to the good news. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So you have here's the gospel, who Jesus is and what he did and why that is the most important thing that has ever happened. And then here's life in response to the gospel. And for those of us in the room who have been a Christian for more than 10 minutes, there's a gap there. Right? It doesn't flow naturally from I have begun to believe that Jesus saved me because God loves me. It doesn't just go from that to now I love others as Christ has loved me. Right? What we experience is I have begun to believe that Jesus saved me because God loves me. And so in the whole history of my life since then, there's been 90 seconds where I was maybe close to loving someone else as Christ has loved me. And the rest of the time, it's a bit of a mixed bag. That gap is being bridged by the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer is a prayer for the Holy Spirit to work in us, to make the connection between we have been loved by Jesus and we are learning to love in the name of Jesus. The Spirit is the one who actually empowers us to love one another as we have been loved. That's the essence of what the Holy Spirit is doing. The essence of being spiritual as a Christian is being empowered by the Spirit to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And the Holy Spirit does this by rooting us in Jesus' love and then leading us in Jesus' love. That's the text. I'm not, sorry Isabel, going to explain everything in it. It's too long and too dense and too glorious for one Sunday. But the essence of what the Holy Spirit is doing here is he's rooting us in Jesus' love, and then he's leading us in Jesus' love. So Paul prays this prayer, and at the heart of it is that we may be rooted and grounded in love. That's the end of verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love. We need this to be rooted in Jesus' love. Last year, a man named Vitomir Maricich, I have no idea if I pronounced that correctly, he broke a world record. He spent 29 minutes and 3 seconds underwater without oxygen or a breathing apparatus. Yeah, right? Apparently the average for a human being, most of us can manage 1 minute and 3 seconds. And Vitomir got 29 and 3 seconds, which is amazing. And also means that no human being has ever managed to exist for half of an hour without receiving life and power from outside. You are designed in your DNA to be continuously dependent on outside life, on outside power. You need to take in oxygen, water, food, warmth, just to keep existing. And for that existence to be life, to be the life you were designed for, you also need to take in love. You can continue to biologically exist without receiving, experiencing love from the outside. You cannot live as you were meant to without continuing to receive love, any more than you can continue to live without receiving oxygen. And that means we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Because everybody in the room, however young or old, however surrounded with love by other human beings you have been in your life or not, everybody in the room can testify that there are times when you are experiencing no love coming in. There are circumstances or periods of life where you seem to be entirely neglected by other human beings or only attended to so that they can get things from you. This happens. It is a Willamette Valley summer of love, right? So we're on the cusp of summer, and right now, everything is flourishing, right? Everything's competing to be the greenest, right? Because there's still plenty of water right up almost to the very surface of the soil. But in 2 months, all the grass that isn't being constantly watered by some other outside source will be dead. Right. On the other hand, the oak trees on the north end of the property will be flourishing and just as green because they are rooted and grounded in the water table. They reach way down past the visible surface to access a source of life that will sustain them through the dry season. If we are going to live, flourish, and grow, we need to be rooted and grounded in a source of love that is not visible on the surface, but is constant and reliable. Can be depended on, no matter how dry our visible relational environment gets. We need that if we are going to live. And Jesus came to earth to offer us that, right? A kind of love that is totally constant and is not dependent on what you have to offer. And the Holy Spirit is the one who grows our roots down past the surface of what we're experiencing day to day so that we can tap in to the continuous, gracious, utterly dependable love of Christ. That's his job. Listen again to the heartbeat of the prayer. Right? Starting in verse 16 of chapter 3. Paul prays that according to the riches of his glory, he, God, may grant you, which means all Christians everywhere, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. That's what the Spirit is doing, taking up residence in your inner being. Rooting you and grounding you in the love of Jesus, which is unlike every other love, right? I am very glad and grateful to count myself unusually loved on a human level. Like there are, in an age in the West of like desperate loneliness, I am abundantly loved. I'm like looking out at lots of people that I'm totally confident love me. And look to me for some kind of help, right? I'm totally sure that Tim loves me, and I'm really grateful for that. And I am aware that Tim looks to me for assistance, for guidance, and for counsel. Both things are true, but the combination of the two makes it easy for me to slip into thinking like, yeah, like Tim loves me, so long as I am helpful, so long as I have counsel and guidance, something useful to offer, right? So many of our relationships are like this. We are used to that, and so it is really hard to believe that there is someone out there to whom we are useless and who loves us. Right? You don't have anything to offer Jesus, who is God and holds the universe together by the word of his power, right? You don't have any utility to him. He's never in his entire life thought like, oh, thank goodness I can ask Steve for help with this. Right? And yet, he has never, for one moment, stopped loving Steve. Right? That's hard to grasp. That is not easy to believe, which is why the Holy Spirit comes to give us strength to grasp it. Did you notice this? The prayer continues, right? You're rooted and grounded in love that you, verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowing, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God knows full well how hard his love is to believe. Knows that none of us have enough strength, enough faith to actually fully experientially believe what all Christians claim to believe, which is that God so loved us that he was willing to die in our place. So easy to say, and I believe it. But then life goes on, and love on the surface dries up. And I forget. I get distracted. I lose track. I start to believe the input that I'm getting from everyone else. You're loved as long as you're useful. The Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in our inner being, to give us strength to actually believe that we are loved this way. Us, we. Paul says that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. You might hear that and think, okay, like the saints are the like super faithful, super holy Christians, and the Holy Spirit comes to give me as much strength as Mother Teresa or Francis of Assisi or whomever. Except when Paul says saints, he's using that as a synonym for Christians. So he does not mean the superheroes of history. He means the Christian sitting next to you, and the one behind you who's leaning to the side so that they can see over your head. Right? We comprehend together. Yeah, that's you, Peter. Right. We comprehend together. We remind one another. We embody this kind of love for one another. So this doesn't have to be extraordinary or magical. You can do it without realizing that you're doing it. 2 weeks ago, Tuesday evening, whatever that was, a week, not quite 2 weeks ago, Vanessa and I and Isabel and Taylor and Rachel and Nick and Cassie were at our house, and Isabel's teaching us to dance tango, which is a, an arena in which no one has ever looked to me for help, guidance, or counsel. And for good reason. And we're like, we're going through the lesson, and the lesson is about musicality, like hearing and flowing with the music, which in my overall extreme weakness as a tango dancer is my most acute weakness, right? And we're like, I'm trying, and we kind of dance to a song, and then we start another one, and I just hit the limit. I'd had a day, I had been trying really hard, and my kids would say I crashed out. That's the current term. Internally, I didn't start like yelling or throwing anything, but I just kind of like went blank, you know, buffering indefinitely. And I went over and I like leaned against our kitchen counter because we're doing this in our back room, and Isabel stepped in and danced with Vanessa, and I don't even know, Johnsons and Silers, if you noticed what was going on. I wasn't ashamed. Like, I flopped. I was manifestly useless. But I was with six people who I trust to love me with the love of Christ. Thank you, all six of you, whether you knew what you were doing or not. But I could fail and not be consumed with my failure, because through my wife and my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit rooted and grounded me in the love that does not love me because I am useful, that does not love me because I am successful, that does not love me because I am something approaching competent, but just loves me. The Spirit lives in us to root us in the love of Christ. And that's not an individual thing. It is us, Paul will say in just a few verses after our passage, being knit together, like bones knit with ligaments and tendons. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us to root us in the love we need to live, in the love of Jesus. He comes and he brings that power into our lives. And it is that power specifically that Paul breaks into song about at the end of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, according to the power to know we are loved by Jesus, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. That is not the Holy Spirit offering you general superpowers to do cool and radical stuff. It is the unimaginably abundant power of God at work in you to give you the strength to know you are loved, to root you and ground you in the love of Christ, so that you may be led, so that we may together be led in Christ's love. That's where the whole rest of the letter goes. Now that you know the story of Christ's love, and now that the Holy Spirit is going out into your midst to give you the strength together to know that love is true and real and for you, therefore, let's live in Christ's love. Therefore, the Spirit can lead us in the love of Christ. This is chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you hear how that call is exactly the call of Jesus, of his love, of living out the love of Jesus toward one another? It's not the call to do amazing, newsworthy things. It's not the call to change the world. It's the call to walk in humility and gentleness and patient love. It's the call to live out the love of Christ through, Paul says, the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one leading us in this. And I want to take just a minute or two to show you just how Jesus-y this call is. So Paul says, you know, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called with all humility and gentleness. Does anybody want to get extra credit in heaven for knowing where those two words, humility and gentleness, are paired earlier in the New Testament? They're usually translated differently. Rachel wins all the gold stars. The first time those words appear together in the New Testament, they are usually translated gentle and lowly. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. The only time Jesus describes his own heart in the Bible, he says that he is gentle and lowly. The word lowly is the word humble. To be humbled is to be lowered. To have humility is to have the willingness to lower yourself. So when Paul says, I want you to walk with all humility and gentleness, he's saying, I want you to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who was as exalted gets, equal with God, rightfully seated on the throne of heaven, and came down into the dust and dwelt in our midst. No one has ever so lowered themselves as Jesus did. And who was gentle beyond comprehension. Gentleness is not weakness, right? Babies aren't gentle. Right? Babies are weak, but they're not gentle. Gentleness is strength constrained and governed by love. My brother Brennan, whom some of you have met, and if you haven't, I just describe him as significantly larger than me, and he looks like a Viking, right? Which is not an exaggeration. On the first day of our oldest daughter's life, held her, not in his arms, in his arm, because one arm was overkill, right? He was gentle. He had more than enough strength to accidentally damage her. But it was constrained by his love for his niece. Jesus comes to earth with the strength to tell the waves to shut up and be quiet. With the strength to send Caesar and all of his legions running in fear. And he holds all of that strength in that he might love us, that he might let one of the least of Caesar's legions nail him to the cross for our sake. And we are called and filled by the Spirit to walk in those footsteps of humility and gentleness and patient love. Did you notice that? With patience, bearing with one another in love, stuck together by love. You've perhaps, if you've had some kind of crisis in your life, you've experienced drive-by love. Like somebody knows that you're suffering, sees it on your face, and they're walking towards you and they're like, how are you? But they don't actually break stride. Right? Or you get a single card in the mail from them and then that's that. Right? That's not what this is, because that's not how Jesus loves us. He doesn't stop by every once in a while to check in. He stays with us. He bears our sufferings as his own. He makes our cares his. And so we are called and empowered by the Spirit to do the same. Are you getting a sense of like the Holy Spirit-filled life may not be all that glamorous? It may not be particularly spectacular. I love that Paul says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. I've never in my life been eager to maintain anything, right? Like, I was excited to see the addition to our house go up. It was being built, and that was cool. I even had fun participating in the building. But now it's been a few years, and it needs maintenance. Like, one of the AC split things in our bedroom isn't working. And there are holes in the sheetrock because, you know, children. Right? And these things need maintaining. I had to, like, clean a bunch of junk out of the trap for one of the bathroom sinks. Not eager. Right? And yet, we are meant to be so filled with the Spirit of love, the Spirit of the Son of God, who eagerly came for us to bear with us in our everyday lives, that we eagerly engage in the unglamorous, repetitive acts of humble and gentle and patient love that keep us in the footsteps of Jesus. The Spirit leads us in that kind of love. Paul says, I urge you to walk. Which is a weird phrase, right? From urge, we get urgency, right? The Greek word is actually even stronger than that. Like, I plead with you to walk. You really need to walk, but walking is walking. Like, walking is not what I do when I'm urgent to get anywhere. Right? Like, I think of Paul saying, I urge you to do this, and it sounds to me like anything Tom Cruise ever did in a Tom Cruise movie, right? It's all urgent, right? Which means, like, the slowest thing Tom Cruise ever does is run full speed. Right? Or he, like, commandeers a motorcycle and takes off, right? You got to get there fast from one scene to the next. And here's Paul saying, in effect, like, you need to slow down right now. Chill out. Because if you're in a hurry to get anywhere, can you lead the life of humble and gentle and patient love? If you have big, important things to do, can you lower yourself and constrain your strength and importance and bear with whomever God puts in front of you? Walking is what you do when you have somewhere to go and you're not in any hurry to get there. And walking is the most common metaphor in the Bible for life with God. Not running, not racing, not riding on horseback, walking. There's a Japanese theologian, so here's another name I don't know how to pronounce, Kosuke Koyama, who was commenting on Jesus is God made flesh, and he never availed himself of any of the faster forms of transport even of his day, right? Like, he didn't ride in a chariot. He walked. So Koyama says, we learn from this that the speed of God is 3 miles an hour. The Spirit-filled, rooted in Christ's love, led by Christ's Spirit life, is lived at 3 miles an hour. One step at a time. What is the step? The unglamorous, unhurried, humble and gentle and patient maintenance step God is calling you to today. He has rooted you and grounded you in the utterly reliable love of Jesus that you might be led in a life of Jesus' love. One step at a time. One humble and gentle and patient act at a time. What is the next step in your calling? Let's pray and ask.